Gamarjo, but Coimbra, this is Beelpod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the lovely Portuguese university town. Had a little jet lag, so look forward to a big day for the dedicated yawn counters. Today is Thursday, the 29th of May, 2014. On this date, in 1453, Ottoman armies capture Constantinople after a siege, ending the Byzantine Empire. 1754, a 22-year-old George Washington sees his first combat in a skirmish that actually starts the French and Indian War, the first real world war. 1867, the Austro-Hungarian Compromise of 1867, the Compromise, is born through Act 12, which establishes the Austro-Hungarian Empire. 1918, the Battle of Sardarabad, in which Armenia beat the Ottoman Empire, preventing the term Armenia from being an exclusively historical term. 1937, Volkswagen is founded. 1953, Tenzing Norgay and Edmund Hillary become the first people to reach the summit of Mount Everest. 1954, first of the annual Bilderberg conferences. Don't know what this is? You should. 1961, appeal for amnesty campaign starts in the UK, which begins Amnesty International. 1964, the Arab League meets in East Jerusalem, leading to the formation of the Palestine Liberation Organization. 1987, after taking off from Helsinki, German kid Matthias Rust lands his Cessna in Red Square. 1990, the Russian Parliament elects Boris Yeltsin president of the Russian Soviet Federative Socialist Republic. 1991, Addis Ababa falls to Melas and the EPLF. By the way, Mengistu is still around, lives in Zimbabwe, and is a buddy of Robert Mugabe's. Birthdays today are Patrick Henry, G.K. Chesterton, Bob Hope, and John F. Kennedy. A year ago today, the beloved priest and author Andrew Greeley died. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tbeelpod.com or send us an email at tbeelpod@gmail.com. Check out tbeelpod.com's new database, which has resources for non-natives living in Tbilisi. Let us know if we missed anything. Even the most seasoned veterans will learn a few new things. Check out www.tbeelpod.com/database. On the 27th of May, opposition leaders in Abkhazia mobilized several thousand protesters in Suchumi, accusing President Alexander Ankvab of authoritarian rule and inappropriate spending of Russian aid money. The demonstrators took over the presidential administration building and demanded the president's resignation, along with constitutional reforms that would give more powers to the legislative body. During the protest rally on the 27th of May, some opposition figures spoke about the passportization of Georgians living in Gali District. Former Minister, Interior Minister Leonid Zapshba told the protesters that Ankvab was arbitrarily and indiscriminately handing out Abkhaz passports to tens of thousands of ethnic Georgians in Gali. He also said that while Ankvab was opening border crossing points on the Inguri River to Georgia, quote, only one border crossing point operates with our friend Russia, end quote. A new government led by Opposition Bloc Coordinating Council, an umbrella group uniting four political parties and seven public movements, claims to temporarily be in control after President Ankvab was forced to flee the presidential building. One of the main opposition leaders is Raul Khajimba, a former KGB officer who served as Abkhazia's vice president from 2005 to 2009. In the 2011 presidential election, Khajimba came in third in the race with less than 20% of the votes. Leading up to the 2011 vote, he tried to position himself as a critic of Abkhazia's over-reliance on Moscow, criticizing the authorities for ineffective use of Russian aid money. Ankvab says that he is still in Abkhazia, that he still holds power, and has the support of top security officials. The mayor of... Interesting that he said top security officials rather than the public. The mayor of Suchumi, Alias Labahua, reassured everybody that the situation in the city is stable. There are no clashes, but opposition leaders remain in control of the presidential administration. On the 28th of May, the Russian president's aide, Vladislav Surkov, arrived in Suchumi. After a meeting with opposition leader, Surkov declined to speak with the press, saying that only that there is nothing yet for him to comment on. After the meeting with Surkov, Khajimba said that there will be no compromise, only the president's resignation. Putin appointed Surkov as his aide to oversee Moscow's relations with Abkhazia and South Ossetia in September 2013. Giga Bokeria, the foreign secretary of the UNM and former national security advisor, said that developments in Abkhazia is a serious challenge to Georgia's security for all residents of the region, and especially for ethnic Georgians living in Gali District. He also criticized the Georgian authorities for, as he put it, not acting proactively in drawing the international community's attention towards the Abkhaz issue. Former mayor of Tbilisi and UNM member Zura Chiabereshvili was beaten by two men while sitting in a Tbilisi cafe on the 27th of May. The attackers were Rezo Tabukashvili and movie director Gio Mgeladze, who later surrendered themselves to police but were released on bail. According to Chiabereshvili, he and Ilia University professor Nodar Ladaria, also known a known UNM supporter, went to the cafe when 10 to 15 minutes later Tabukashvili and Mgeladze arrived. Tabukashvili threw hot tea in Ladaria's face and then hit Chiabereshvili twice with the cup. Chiabereshvili was hospitalized but discharged the same day. He said he doesn't know the attackers personally and that their only possible motive is that they were unhappy with his political activity. The Interior Ministry launched an investigation into the case. Lots of pictures of him looking beat up circulating on Facebook. Following up on last week's story on the quibbling over who will sign the EU Association Agreement, President Gyurgi Margvelashvili delegated the right to sign the agreement to the Prime Minister. The President's Parliamentary Secretary, Dato Pataraya, said at a briefing that, according to the Constitution, it is the President's role to sign international agreements, but that the President is giving the Prime Minister a one-time right to sign. As a reminder, Georgia signs the agreement on the 27th of June. Prime Minister Khalibashvili responded that he will sign the agreement and doesn't need any authorization from the president. Spokesman of the Russian Foreign Ministry, Alexander Lukashevich, said that Georgia should understand the possible consequences of signing the association agreement with the EU. Lukashevich stressed that Russia respects Georgia's right to sign any kind of agreement, but warns that association membership with the EU will affect the Russia-Georgian bilateral ties. So he didn't really say what it's going to mean, but that Georgia should understand what it's going to mean, although he respects Georgia's rights to do whatever it wants, but it'll mean something. Yeah, okay. Thanks, Alexander. So there's an ongoing rumor and discussion in Tbilisi that the Ukrainian-elect President Petro Poroshenko will hire Misha as an advisor. For those who don't know, Misha went to university in Kiev, speaks Ukrainian, and has appeared on the Maidan commenting on things. UNM members say that they think it would be a good decision if the rumors are true and that it will be an important step for Ukraine and good for Georgia's future. Khalibashvili also commented on the issue and advised Poroshenko not to let Saakashvili close. Meanwhile, the former Minister of Economy and current chair of the Supervisory Board of Tbilisi Free University and Agricultural Universities, Kaha Bendukidze, confirmed that he is one of five advisors to the new Ukrainian president. Bendukidze said the advisors will meet once a month to make important decisions about the Ukrainian economy. On the 24th of May, the Constitutional Court revoked a December 2013 decision to suspend Tbilisi Mayor Gigi Ugulava, who now plans to go back to work only weeks before the local election. Tbilisi City Court suspended Ugulava until he would go on trial for abuse of power and embezzlement of money belonging to the Tbilisi City Hall. Ugulava appealed the decision and won in Tbilisi City Court, the appeals court, and now in the Constitutional Court. Tbilisi City Court also found former Defense Minister Dato Kezarashvili not guilty of bribery charges. Criminal charges were brought against Kezarashvili in January 2013 in connection to a case involving an alleged $12 million bribe for providing protection for an alcohol smuggling scheme between 2007 and 2012. Prosecutors claimed that the scheme resulted in a 49 million lari loss for the state in unpaid taxes. Prosecutors said that they will appeal the verdict to a higher court. Kezarashvili's brother-in-law and co-defendant in the trial, Meyer Janashvili, was found guilty in absentia and sentenced to 9 years in prison. Kezarashvili, by the way, has an Israeli passport. Kezarashvili, who was also standing trial in absentia, was until now in pretrial detention in France. A court in the city of Aix-en-Provence ruled against his extradition to Georgia last February. A total of 89 candidates were registered for the mayoral races in 12 cities for the 15th of June local elections. Tbilisi is the most contested city with 14 candidates running for mayor, followed by Batumi and 9 in Rustavi. Only two candidates are running for the mayoral office of Ambralauri, a town in the Rachelec-Humi mountainous region. 10 out of the 87 mayoral candidates are women. Only the Georgian Dream and UNM have candidates in all 12 cities. If in the first round no candidate wins more than 50% of the vote, the race will go into a runoff. Mayors will be directly elected for the first time in 11 cities in these upcoming elections. Previously, only Tbilisi had direct mayor elections. On the 26th of May, Georgia marked its Independence Day. It is the second year in a row that there was no military parade. There were many events on Rustaveli, including performances by the National Ballet Troupe, folk music concerts, and more. Military equipment, however, was exhibited, seemingly for children to climb on and get their pictures taken. Lots of other kids' stuff. There was a flower market, handicraft market, and agricultural goods for sale. The day was also celebrated in 11 cities around the country. According to a survey by the Institute of Development of Freedom of Information, during the period from October 13 to March 2014, the figure of public information issued by public bodies decreased by 14% compared to the period of September 2012 to October 2013. IDFI sent 493 requests to 29 public bodies, including various ministries in the president's administration, asking about salaries, expenses for events, and so on. The Ministry of Economy has the highest decrease in issuing information compared to the previous period. The availability of information decreased by 61%. The president's administration, however, had a 20% increase in making information available. The government is planning to create an independent investigative agency that will be separate from any government structures. The Unified General Inspection Agency will have the right to investigate a wide variety of cases involving crime, police abuse, fraud, and so on. According to Member of Parliament Tinico Chidashelli, the general inspector of the new agency will be appointed by Parliament. The initiative comes after the UN High Commission for Human Rights, Navi Pillay, recently made a visit to Georgia and called on the government to establish an independent mechanism for unbiased investigations. According to the newspaper Resonanci, ministers' salaries in Georgia grew on average by 3,000% over the past 10 years. MP salaries grew, that's not annualized, by the way. MP salaries grew by about 2,500%. Presidents increased by 1,600%. Prior to 2003, members of parliament received 150 lari per month. Their salary is now 3,700 lari. Before 2003, the average salary of a minister was 165 lari per month. During the previous government, it was 3,540, and now it is 5,000 lari. As for the president's salary, Edward Shevardnadze received 400 lari per month. Misha received 4,700, and the current president, Georgi Margvelashvili, received 6,900 lari. People should understand also that the current salaries are roughly in line, if anything, lower than comparable countries with Georgia's budget and GDP. And that in Shevardnadze's time, all salaries of the president, members of parliament, and everybody else were incredibly low because everybody was so much on the take that they were getting all their money under the table. After an 8-year embargo, Georgian fruits and vegetables are re-entering the Georgian market. Since last November, Russia opened its market to Georgian products, which it previously banned because they allegedly carry a phytosanitary risk, meaning the risk of pests and pathogens. Zurab Lipartia, who's head of the phytosanitary department of the National Food Agency, which is part of the Georgian Ministry of Agriculture, said that 20,000 tons of citrus fruit were already sent from Georgia to Russia since the market reopened. Some other fruits and vegetables are allowed into the Russian market as well after inspection by specialists. According to Zurab Lipartia, the Russian experts are expected to arrive in Georgia in June for further inspections, which we all know they very much enjoy. Turkish Transport Minister Lutfi Elvan said that the construction of the Baku-Tbilisi-Kars Railway will be accomplished in late 2015. The minister clarified that 80% of the construction in Turkey is already completed. The presidents of Azerbaijan, Georgia, and Turkey recently discussed the project during a trilateral summit in Tbilisi. The railway will connect countries from Central Asia to China. Following the long Georgian-Abkhazia negotiations, the bodies of 31 Georgians killed in a plane crash in Abkhazia in 19, 93 will be returned home to their families 21 years after the tragedy. Investigators are now identifying the bodies so that they can be reunited with their relatives. During the Abkhaz War, a plane carrying more than 120 people from Tbilisi was shot down while landing at Babushehra Airport in Sukhumi. According to the Prime Minister, a new global network called TanaMemamule.ge, which means compatriot, will connect the Georgian diaspora living all over the globe. In addition, an online school was created within the project that will give foreigners the possibility to study Georgian language and literature online. I have to take a look at that. Schools and kindergartens in Georgia up to the sixth grade will remain closed until the end of the week to deal with the viral meningitis outbreak. The schools were supposed to open on Tuesday, the 27th of May, but Health Minister Dato Sergeyenko announced that they will remain closed for four more days. There are now 306 confirmed cases of viral meningitis in Georgia in the last 2 months. Prime Minister Garibashvili announced the restoration of the Tel Aviv Kudgalauri Airport in Kakheti. It will resume after a 20-year break. The Georgian government said that the restoration of the Tel Aviv Airport would benefit locals, boost tourism, and improve internal air traffic throughout Georgia. The hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia's project fixmystreet.ge, now covers Kutaisi, Zugdidi, and Batumi. The webpage gives city residents the ability to report infrastructure problems directly to their local authorities. The project was launched in 2011 and until now only covered Tbilisi. On the 24th, and try it out. If you know anybody in Kutaisi, Zugdidi, and Batumi, check out the link and send it over to them and get them to report some potholes or anything else. On the 24th of May, the NGO Identoba, which is known for protecting LGBT rights and other pro-tolerance activities in Georgia, they held a demonstration outside the chancery to highlight the problem of violence against women. According to the organization, 13 women died as a result of domestic violence in Georgia in the last 3 months. They claim that while legislation in Georgia appears to protect victims of domestic violence, the law is not followed in practice. According to Interfax, the Georgian Culture Center Iveria organized a concert entitled Two Cultures, One Faith at the Zimny Theater in Sochi within the framework of a Russian-Georgian friendship festival. The Iveria choreographic company performed dances of people of the Caucasus with music by the Ruski Souvenir Orchestra. The village of Chajashi in Svaneti, which boasts a unique landscape, medieval architecture, and was put on the UNESCO list of World Heritage Sites in 1996, is undergoing a major renovation. UNESCO experts will arrive in Georgia in September, and together with Georgian experts, will examine the current state of the village. More than 400 stone homes and 200 stone towers survive in the village. In parliamentary news, the mandate of the State Commission on Constitutional Reform, a very important group, chaired by Parliament Speaker Dato Usubashvili, will be prolonged until the end of the year. The 58-member commission, including representatives from politics, academia, and civil society, was established in late December and tasked with developing constitutional amendments. Their mandate ran until the 1st of September. It convened with a delay in March. The commission is made up of five working groups addressing issues of checks and balances between the branches of government, territorial administrative arrangements, and general constitutional provisions, as well as rules regarding making amendments to the Constitution. Usubashvili said that the commission is not yet at the decision-making stage and is currently focusing on identifying problems and gathering ideas and recommendations. The government prepared a new draft law regarding the country's mountainous regions that aims to tackle the region's demographic problem by encouraging people to repopulate empty areas. The new draft law outlines planned privileges designed not only to stop the population drain from the mountains, but to encourage families who've left to consider possibly going back. The new law will make investing in the mountainous regions profitable by exempting businesses from paying taxes in the first 5 years of their operations. Issuing identification documents to Georgian citizens living abroad might become easier if Parliament approves an amendment that will allow Georgians to send all necessary documents to the State Services Department agency instead of going to Georgian consulates and embassies. In Kvitis Azrebi this week, journalist Dato Bukhrikidze shared his appreciation of photographer and alpinist Guram Tikhanadze. About 90 of Tikhanadze's black and white photographs from the 1960s, which are usually kept in the archives of the Georgi Leonidze State Museum of Georgian Literature were exhibited in TBC Gallery this month. David said that Tikhanidze's candid photos captured people's regular life in post-Stalinist Georgia and changed the way Georgian photographers approach their subjects. During his short life, Tikhanidze held many exhibitions around the world. He died at age 31 during an accident while descending from the mountain Shkhara in 1963. The meme this week, everybody check it out, is an image circulating on Facebook making fun of anti-LGBT protesters who are also against colorful banners and clothing. The image is of a black rainbow on a white background with a caption, "A traditional Georgian rainbow should look like this. We don't need pederast rainbows." Stuff to read this week. I'm here in Portugal in part to launch a book by the University Press of Coimbra, Russian Foreign Policy in the Euro-Atlantic Area, with a lot of very thoughtful, excellent collection of Portuguese language essays about Georgia and other countries in the neighborhood. Makes an excellent holiday or birthday present for Brazilian, Mozambican, Angolan, and Portuguese friends. Check it out. Article by TI Georgia entitled "Water from Offshore: Who Owns Georgian Water and Power?" That investigates non-transparent ownership of Georgian Water and Power Company that delivers water to Tbilisi. According to the article, GWP is owned by Georgian Global Utilities, an offshore entity registered in the British Virgin Islands. Its two shareholders, Sirius Private Equity Fund and U.S. Utilities, both appear to be shell companies. The beneficial owners of GWP are not traceable in Georgian public documents, yet TI Georgia was able to link the company to several Georgian and Russian businessmen. As anyone at Tbilisi knows, there are still substantial problems in supplying water to the city. A great article by Siko Chinashia on a very important issue in Tabula magazine about the conflict, whether education policy in schools is a private or a public matter, how this plays out in Georgia. Are schools mainly tasked with giving an education as a tool for income? Or are schools a tool of socialization, such as building national identity? Where does the balance lie? Very, very thoughtful essay by an important educational theorist worthy of your consideration. Article by Georgi Kaltozishvili and Vesnik Kavkaza about the new government program Produce in Georgia that will provide Georgian entrepreneurs with low-interest, long-term loans and assist in developing Georgian products. According to the article, some experts are skeptical that the new program will be successful. It's written from a bit of a libertarian point of view, but points out that a lot of the stuff has not been thought through particularly carefully. An interesting article by Tim Blauveld on the Mingrelian question in Georgia in the 20s and 30s. Very much worth checking out for historical background. Based on primary sources from the Georgian Communist Party archive and periodical press, the article examines the conflict between central and local elites in early Soviet Georgia over whether it should grant linguistic and territorial rights to Mingrelians, or Magrelians as we like to call them. From Tabil Plod's well-informed Malibu desk, take a look at this architectural marvel developed by Georgian architect Dachi Papuashvili. A cross-shaped home built of recycled shipping containers, especially for priests. Yes, it's true. Only here on tabilpod.com. You got to see the pictures. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 13.7. That's the current unemployment rate in Georgia, according to Geostat. In comparison, Turkey's current unemployment rate is 8.2%. And according to the latest research, the unemployment rate for 2013 in Armenia is 17%. Russia is 5.2%, respectively. Some announcements. Amidani Movie Theater, close to Parliament, has English movies daily. This week, the 4th of June. Until the 4th of June, you can watch Godzilla at 2:50 p.m., The Other Woman at 5:30 p.m., X-Men Days of Future Past at 7:30 and 10:30 p.m., For the month of May, Domkino across from Rustaveli McDonald's will be showing on the 30th of May, The Last Metro, on the 31st of May, The Woman Next Door, and on the 1st of June, Confidentially Yours. All movies start at 7 p.m. On the 29th of May at 7 p.m., Tbilisi Photo Festival 2014 will host an exhibition by Martin Parr and Rimaldas Vitsratis entitled Real World, followed by a book signing. Address is 8 8 Chanturia Street. The next works in progress will be on the 4th of June at 6:15. Richard Maas from Cornell University will present Putin's salami tactics, annexation, and Ukraine. The address is number 3 Kavsadze Street in Vake. On the 6th of June at 3 p.m. and on the 7th and 8th of June at 1 p.m., the Tbilisi Open Air Festival 2014 will be held near Lisi Lake. Performers include Nika Koi, Nino Katamadze, China Woman, Loudspeakers, Lapalooks, and others. Tickets are 15 lari per day or 30 lari for a 3-day entrance. For additional information, visit their Facebook page, facebook.com/Tbilisi Open Air. On the 6th of June, the nightclub Mtkvarze will host a one-night-only Georgian funk performance. DJ Scientist and Marianne Tone will be playing special sets with some of the most danceable rare groove funk music from around the world, including hip-hop, electro, and Georgian funk. The event starts at 11 p.m. Entrance fee is 10 lari. Address is 2 Agladze Street. I am telling you, this will be fun. If you are in Tbilisi, go. In London on the 3rd of June at 7 p.m., pianist Khatia Buniatashvili will give a performance followed by an interview and Q&A at the Weatherby School. Tickets are £15 and can be booked by emailing tickets at mcsyaf.com. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at txtbuk. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with Company B's 1986 hit, Fascinated.